once again to another edition of what I've called for about 10 years now, American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 2nd of September. And, boy, I'll tell you, an hour and 51 minutes ago, the havoc wrought by Hurricane Katrina in the United States is testimony to the importance of environmental protection, United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan said an hour and 51 minutes ago, listeners. Dennis the Menace is really creating havoc for the other side, those who want to totalitarianly control all of us. And that's very, very obvious to me. If you do research, listeners, you will find this to be true. If you don't do research, you'll be confused. And that is the problem. You must do research into weather modification. You need to learn about science. You need to do the Google search engines on all sorts of different directions. Punch in Vision 2020 on a search engine and see what you come up with. Punch in Border 2012 and see what you come up with, listeners. Today we're going to talk about, for the first hour, the NAFTA corridors, listeners. That hasn't been put aside. The NAFTA corridors is moving along. The Trans-Texas corridor is moving along. Every city in the country will have to comply with the NAFTA corridors eventually, because they have offshoots. It goes up I-35. This disaster in New Orleans is a test case for building sustainable communities. It has to be this way. The relocation of populations will be done. It has no choice. Gasoline is an extreme shortage now. Gas lines will return. Has no choice. Food is going to skyrocket. Food will be rationed. Vaccinations will be kept up to date before you purchase food. When people get together, the concern about sickness and illness comes about, and then everybody will have to be vaccinated. And when you read Morris Beale's book, you'll find that the Rockefeller Drug Trusts are behind the serumizing of America and why so many people are sick and ill today, because of vaccinations. So all these connecting of the dots are coming into place in 2005. It's an unfortunate scenario in place. You can understand this if you do research. If you don't do research, you don't have a clue. You think we're off in the Middle East for democracy and freedom, not the UN system. But when you do your research, you'll find that we are the UN military. The coalition is the UN military, doing the work of the IMF and the World Bank for the United Nations. That's the whole point and the problem. Without research, without your educating yourself, what's the point in listening? There's never been a better opportunity in the history of this country to educate yourself, by yourself, with the computer, with books written by many. So much going on. And so we see U.S. hurricane disaster shows import of protecting environment by Kofi Annan. A perfectly appropriate statement to make under the circumstances of a created chaotic situation of weather modification. As I see it, that's what I feel. We'll be back with Jane Lesko. We'll talk about the NAFTA corridors and see how far along it really is. You'll be amazed. The second hour, oh boy, you'll be in charge. Back to the broadcast. I'm so happy to reintroduce you to Jane Lesko. Jane, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
I see here it's the Trans-Texas Corridor size that sets it apart. While the state has amassed thousands of miles of land for roadways since the early 1900s, never has it sought to clear a path as wide as 7 football fields. Texas Department of Transportation officials laid out the framework for how the department will appraise and acquire land for the proposed tollway project at a Wednesday meeting of the Trans-Texas Corridor Citizens Advisory Committee. Listeners, this is dated August 25th of this year. Isn't this amazing how this is going on, and then we're hearing all this information about the disaster in New Orleans and the surrounding states? Jane.
Uh-huh.
Tell us your feelings.
Well, after talking to you yesterday on the phone, I got an email, and I thought I'd share this with your listeners today. This is linked off of the New Orleans original and only official Southern Decadence website. And it says, New Orleans welcomes Southern Decadence. Southern Decadence is the celebration of the 34th year of gay life and music and culture that was supposed to start Wednesday, August 31st, and go through September 5th in New Orleans. And it says, due to the significance of Southern Decadence, importance to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, and the millions of dollars in the economic impact, the past three mayors of the city of New Orleans has issued an official proclamation welcoming visitors to Southern Decadence, Southern Decadence Gay Mardi Gras. It's really interesting because it's welcoming anybody and everybody from all over the country for the Southern Decadence is held the weekend before Labor Day, and this year begins on October 31st, like I was just telling you. And it says, you don't have to be gay to enjoy the fun. Just join your friends in New Orleans for what will probably be the most unusual weekend you've ever had. Oh, yeah, it's flooded. They didn't have their celebration.
Isn't that ironic?
I know. Somebody sent me this, and I thought, you have got to be kidding. Well, I looked up decadence, and they call it Southern Decadence, and I looked it up in the encyclopedia, and it's one refers to a process of deterioration and decay, and the second entry is a condition or period of decline, as in literature, art, and morals. Boy, they've named themselves right, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. Good point.
The interest I've had in this trade corridor, all these trade corridors, is the fact that it's not just trucks traveling. It's international movement of people. Living in Idaho, I became aware of the Canamex corridor, and I have a copy of the Canamex Memorandum of Understanding that was signed December 3rd, 1999. Well, that was the first one, actually. I'm getting ahead of myself here. There was one signed in October of 2003. Five governors signed this without the legislator's approval, and it's the corridor, the NAFTA corridor, the little arm of the NAFTA corridor. You know how it branches out all over the country, but this one was really interesting because this came from Canada, all the way to Mexico. It started in Idaho, or Montana, Idaho, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona. And as we were told that it was a truck route. And as we read the memorandum of understanding, it was more than a truck route. It does say international gateways, ports of entry, and international movement of people. And I was just kind of wondering why we got ourselves into this mess, and Phyllis Schlafly with Eagle Forum sent out an email recently. It was CFR's plan to integrate the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And the CFR document called Building a North American Community was presented before the Senate Richard Lugar's Foreign Relations Committee on June 9th. And it is a plan that a 59-page CFR document spells out a 5-year plan for the establishment by 2010 of the North American Economic and Security Community with a common outer security perimeter. What it's really calling for is open borders. It says also in this plan that George W. Bush and Mexican President Vicente Fox and Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin committed their governments to this goal when they met at Bush's ranch at Waco, Texas, on March 23, 2005. And the three adopting the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America and assigned working groups to fill in the details. Congress wasn't involved in this. It's like they're signing us away without Congress's approval, and our governors are signing us away without our state legislators' approval.
Yeah.
And all this fits into the National Highway System Designation Act of 1995 that lays out the high priority corridors. Idaho's Kanemax, the one that runs through Idaho, is listed as number 26 in the corridors. I think there's like 44, I think somebody said there's like 44 roads that are laid out there.
Yeah, I think it's 43 NAFTA
something
corridors,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting reading the material that you get on Kanemax, because it's not on a website in the United States. It's out of Alberta, Canada.
Right.
And it says that they are going to use intelligence transportation systems to facilitate trade and traffic flows, install telecom and fiber optics, truck permitting tourism, customs, and it says immigration.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know about that part of it. So as we're starting to get down into what's happening with these trade agreements, it looks like the whole big plan was already spelled out. The governors or the governments have already pretty much designed they were going to have this
Yes.
North America integration.
I think it was planned 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And here we see dated August 26th. A company was selected Thursday to develop a system so that motorists can pay their way on the Trans-Texas Corridor toll roads without stopping at the booth.
Yep. Now, we were told the Kanemax Corridor, it's I-15 until it gets down into Arizona, but it goes all the way from Canada to Mexico. And we were told that, in fact, the lady that's the executive director, Marissa Walker, told me that there are spots on that highway that they've got to put the towers for your cell phone, so there's
uh-huh.
no dead spots. And somebody has sent me an article or a statement from a congressional meeting. Let's see here. It's 1998. About the national, when they were talking about the national ID card,
mm-hmm.
and this was in a House meeting, Committee on Government Reform and Oversight, and it was interesting. They talked about the description of the committee. It says Subcommittee on National Economic Growth, National Resources, and Regulatory Affairs held a hearing on the national ID card. This was back in, like I said, 1998. And they titled it Big Government at Its Worst or Technology Efficiency. And I have a speech by a gentleman called, his name is Grover Norquist, and this is on September 17th, 1998. And he's talking about it's only a matter of time before our computer-controlled cars, cruising smart highways, send continuous reports on their movement to some centralized traffic manager. This stuff was already being laid out, and it's really interesting here. Just remember what year this was, 1998,
mm-hmm.
because he's talking about a little. He's making a little statement here. He said just last week the Federal Communications Commission gave the American public a temporary reprieve from another Reno plan. This is when Janet Reno was still there.
Right.
Plan to turn every cell phone in America into a personal locator device. However bizarre this sounds, it is already a serious problem in many countries. In Japan, for instance, the national telephone company NTT maintains a website at which it is possible to get the exact location of everyone carrying a cell phone in Tokyo by typing in the person's cell phone number. In Switzerland, the location of every cell phone is logged every 3 hours, and the location data of every person is archived for 6 months. Now, wouldn't we just love to have our freeways doing this to us?
And that's the plan, is to monitor everyone wherever they are.
Yes, and that's what they said. This lady told me there will be no dead spots in the Kanemax corridor. And as you look through the that highway bill for the Designation Act of 1995, it calls for an intelligence transportation system, which basically does the same thing. That's
right.
What this is. That's what this is. It's a tracking system.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to get rid of their cell phone, this would probably be a good time.
Yeah.
I won't have one.
Right.
And this, and what I was reading out was out of a speech that was given in a Congress, you know, given to Congress. So it's documented. That's where I got it. So, but anyway, I sent you something else. I sent you something about what is taking place in Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know if you had a chance to look at anything. But...
Well, I've looked at some, but let's cover this on the other side of the commercial pause. For the Free Enterprise Cause, and it's here, so you must support these sponsors, listeners, at RBN. We'll be back to continue with Jane Lesko. Stay with us. Back to the broadcast. I see here Smart Highways Emerging, dated August 1st of this year. Jane has her information. Let's continue with Jane Lesko, listeners. Continue, Jane.
Yes, I had a call from a lady that lives in Kansas City, Missouri, and she was really concerned about the smart corridor that was going on in Kansas City, and she had read in the paper that the that the Kansas City Council had been instructed to contribute $3 million to this project and that the facility was to be a sovereign Mexican territory. And it would be, the facility would be one of a kind in the United States to house the city's Mexican Business Initiatives Corp, the Mexican Consulate's three-state regional office, the Office of the North American International Trade Corridor Partnerships,
mm-hmm.
and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Greater Kansas City. She said she couldn't find anything from any of the government offices locally. They said they didn't have any paperwork on it or anything they could give her. So I told her that I would get with one of the ladies here that helps me with research, and we try to find out about the smart port of Kansas City. I got on her mayor's website for Kansas City and found out he's got an international linked website, and also that the Kansas City is now called the United Nations Association of Kansas City. I looked at their mission statement under that, and it said that they are committed to strengthening the United Nations. And also, their part is to help the United States participate to the greatest, whatever the United States could. That's their goal, is to make sure that the United States participates as much as they can with the United Nations agendas. And I thought that was very interesting for a mayor to take that position, but I had also been aware of the mayor's conference in San Francisco recently, and they were to commit their cities to the Sustainable Development and Agenda 21, Earth Charter, whatever. It's all the same, no matter what you call it. It's just all linked to the same thing. And now we're seeing the mayors taking the lead, where we're watching for our governors and our legislators in the states to be, you know, see what they're doing. But now the mayors are taking the lead. And I knew that the U.S. Conference of Mayors has already adopted the Earth Charter a number of years ago. But it's very interesting to see how bold Kansas City, Missouri is in actually being an association of the United Nations.
Yeah, that is telling, and there's other states probably enacting those same directions. Mm-hmm. NASCO, the North American Super Corridor Coalition, is something that we've covered in the past. And, you know, that's the NAFTA corridors. But amazingly enough, the pressure on them is... evidently encouraged them to take down their website, at least, the North American Super Corridor Coalition. So this is a positive direction here, in my thoughts, because the people aren't going to accept this.
Well, on the Kansas City, the mayor's website for Kansas City, they have a map, and it shows Kansas City is the heart of the United States for the trade corridor, the North American International Trade Corridor Partnership. And I-535 goes through them all the way down to Oklahoma, I guess, into Texas.
Right.
But this is all linked to the same thing. It's all part of the North American International Trade Corridor Partnership.
Right.
And I just thought it was so interesting how that this could be, they say the heart of this is out of Kansas City, Missouri, and this mayor, you would think he would be concerned about the his oath of office, you know, to uphold the U.S. Constitution or laws in our, of the land instead of making agreements with the United Nations. I just wonder if he made some kind of oath to them.
Well, oath or not, it's the paycheck that counts for him and his ability to stay in office. And certainly you have the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st century, which was enacted on June 9th, 1998, and Public Law 105-178 put that together, listeners. And it also authorizes the Federal Surface Transportation Program for highways, highway safety, transit for the six-year period up to 2003. So, listeners, this is all part of the direction, TEA 21, Transportation, Transportation Equity Act for the 21st century, moving Americans into the 21st century. So this is what she's talking about, and the information is there on the NAFTA corridors. You can learn about this yourself. You can pass this information on to others because every state has to cooperate with this direction if this highway is to be successful. We're talking about what kind of transportation with these NAFTA highway or the corridor.
The commitment to funds of the states, though, are something that the state legislators should have an oversight in. And that's one thing that our the governors in the CANAMEX corridor had nothing. They had nothing to tell the legislators. Not, they didn't ask for their opinion, or they didn't ask for their permission to, or you know, their vote to
right.
allow them to use or appropriate any funds or any resources in the state, and to commit the state to the agenda.
What
which is very interesting.
What is going to be the composition of the highways? Well, what are going to be on these this corridor? Well, okay, we go to commercial pause. When we come back, Jane will tell us what the corridor is going to be made up of that's being planned for us. And to stop it, oh boy, we'll be back to continue with the broadcast. AmericanExpose.com is the website. American spelled with a K. Stay with us. We will return. Broadcast. We're talking about the NAFTA corridors today for this first hour, and I'm asking Jane, what are the composition of the highways going to be about as far as the transportation?
You're wanting to know what they're going to look like or what kind of systems are going to be
there? The composition of the highways. In other words, the mode of transportation on the highways.
It looks like it's going to be car and truck.
Car, truck, train.
On, well, actually, on the highway itself, what you're talking about is the
corridor
one,
itself.
Yeah, there is going to be a train that's connected to the Mexican line out of Texas. I didn't see that out of Kansas City. There, it might be there, but I didn't see that in the map. What's interesting about the whole system is that when you read the material, when they're setting this up, they're talking about prepay or pre-pass or NORPASS, and it's a system where you do not have to stop. The trucks will not have to stop. They have an international cyber port at the crossing from Mexico into Arizona, and I had heard something about this before. Somebody was telling me that there's going to be some kind of a system set up where when people are driving, that they're going to be monitoring how many miles that they drive their vehicle, and then they'll be sent, be able to be taxed on that.
Yeah, driving
and
by
I
the
talked
mile.
To, huh?
Driving by the mile.
And I talked to one of our state legislators about it, and he said it's being piloted right now in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got a lot of things that are going to be coming our way. I would definitely get rid of my cell phone if I was people out there, because I would hate to be tracked by a cell phone. I can't imagine, when you see the gas prices, I can't imagine too many people traveling. I mean, who's going to travel if what they said is true about this $5, it could be up to $5 a gallon for gas?
In a week or two.
Who would be using these corridors then?
Well, who would
be driving? I'm asking you because it just sounds too bizarre. I mean, they went to all this trouble and now...
Well, the trouble is one thing, but the created crisis is another. To financially devastate the country is the design.
Yeah.
To make us subservient to the federal government is another design. And these weather anomalies are the reason why it comes about, and certainly to destroy the oil the ability to extract the oil in that part of the region, use that UN word, region,
okay.
And then the oil refineries being nailed. And so the production is gone, for all intents and purposes, according to certain sources, 90% of it's gone. For years, we've not been allowed to search for oil in other parts of this country. And certainly the oil is available in Alaska. It's just not being pooled for our purposes. A lot of it's being sold to Japan, I'm told. So the created crisis is well underway. These the NAFTA corridor itself, who knows how it's going to be engineered for the ultimate end goal, but to pay driving by the mile, that's obvious that they're going to want to do this. They want to take our transportation abilities away under Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because the Canamex corridor material that you read is talking about a new economy that they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got international movement of people and international gateways and ports of entry, there's a lot going on here. And I thought was, when I read this about the CFR document, the Council of Foreign Relations document, I mean, by the year 2010, they wanted the outer security perimeter. So that right there shows that there's something bigger than just a truck traveling down the road from Mexico. are you familiar with Luis Ernesto Derbez, U.S. Secretary of Foreign Affairs from Mexico?
Probably not.
Okay, remember the Mexican guidebooks that were printed by the government office in Mexico?
You mean from the migrants to come to America?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard there was over 2 million printed. Well, those came from Mexico Secretary Derbez, his Office of Foreign Affairs. And somebody sent me an email, a very interesting email. It says, U.S. Secretary of Labor,
Elaine Chao.
Okay.
Yes.
And Mexican Foreign Secretary Luis Ernesto Derbez signed joint declaration to improve working conditions for Mexican workers. This was July 21st, 2004. And it's right off the U.S. Department of Labor's website, and it says, President Vicente Fox has instructed the Secretary of Foreign Affairs to implement concrete actions that will improve the quality of life for all Mexicans in the United States. And then if you read this go on to read the article, it's talking about how all Mexicans in the United States, they don't have to be documented workers. They said this is an important step to protect labor rights of all Mexican workers in the United States and to
mm-hmm.
provide them with the tools they need to be safe at work and fully and fairly compensated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Secretary of Labor signed the contract and agreements. And what's interesting is Congress wasn't even involved in this.
Oh, no.
And this is all part of getting the Mexicans over here, getting them into our workforce, but now we're going to show preference. And the Department of Labor has committed to working with 45 the Mexican consulates in the United States to make
mm-hmm.
sure that these Mexicans are are working under safe and healthy working conditions.
Yes, and certainly this is all part of the State Department, their mission to the United Nations. And this is what it's all about. This is the State Department implementation of this through the TEA 21, Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century, Federal Highway Administration, and the Trans-Texas Corridor. And where's the Texas Department of Transportation, Texas Turnpike Authority Division? Where is it? Austin, Texas, listeners. Austin, Texas. The Texas Department of Transportation and the Trans-Texas Corridor is their main office. P.O. Box 14707. That's P.O. Box 14707, Austin, Texas. The toll-free number for the Trans-Texas Corridor listeners is 1-877-872-6789. That's 1-877-872-6789. The Trans-Texas Corridor people, Austin, Texas. For more information on the I-69 TTC Trans-Texas to Mexico route contact, once again, the Texas Department of Transportation, P.O. Box 14428. This is another address, P.O. Box 14428, Austin, Texas, 78761. And the toll-free number for that is 866-554-6989, 866-554-6989. The Trans-Texas Corridor is where it apparently this is all starting from, and very obvious to me that what they want to do is bring back this situation where they talk about the Trans-Texas Corridor's proposed multi-use statewide network of transportation routes in Texas that will incorporate existing and new highways, railways, and utility right-of-ways. Specific routes for the TTC have not been determined. As envisioned, each route will include separate separate lines for passenger vehicles and large trucks, freight railways, high-speed commuter railways, infrastructure for utilities, including water lines, oil and gas pipelines, and transmission lines for electricity, broadband, and other telecommunication services as well. Plans call for the TTC to be completed in phases over the next 50 years, with routes prioritized according to Texas transportation needs. The Texas DOT, that's the Texas Department of Transportation, will oversee planning, construction, and ongoing maintenance, although private vendors will be responsible for much of the daily operations. So it's happening in Kansas City, it's happening in Texas, and it's all got to be cooperated upon with all the various states that take the roads. Without one state not cooperating with the highways die to a certain extent, don't they?
Yes, that that Trans-Texas Corridor website was really interesting because there's been quite a bit of opposition to this. And they said that right now they just have the plans for this, and they're welcoming people's, the public's input on this.
Yeah, well, they should, and good for them, because obviously
it looks like they're seeking a private, some type of private partner or something to fund this. It won't be.
Yeah, it's going to be a public-private partnership.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And that's the UN direction with all this.
See, that's what's dangerous when you don't have your own government paying for it and controlling it.
Yeah, absolutely. This thing comes right out of the United Nations system.
Mm-hmm.
The public-private partnerships. It's all part of the whole situation. And obviously, we don't own anything. We don't own our money. Da 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 da. We know about this, but yet the government isn't going to tell us this. They're not going to let us know this, but it's all very, very obvious to me how this is being engineered. And here we have all the press concentrating on the traumatic situation in New Orleans and surrounding states. Well, granted, all the publicity being done here doesn't stop everything else from being implemented. And I know Cindy Sheehan apparently has left. Because all the publicity went away from her, and I think that was a good reason for this to happen. I mean, I think that's what they designed it to do, is to bring about this kind of press, to take all the press off of the back of George Bush and his war in the Middle East. Jane?
Uh-huh.
Anything else?
I'm just listening to what you're saying. It's very interesting to get different opinions of what's going on.
Right.
I really appreciate what you're saying and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's really, really interesting. I think I would encourage those that are listening to get a hold of their Congress, you know, the representatives in their state, and find out where they stand on this CFR document on the Building the North American Community. Like I said, this was already introduced June 9th of this year to Senator Richard Huger's Foreign Relations Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that people ought to get involved with those that represent them in Congress and make sure that they do not assign any agreements that has to do with building this North American community. I think this would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Most people have no clue about this.
Yeah.
We have actually the best highway system in the world already. It's just that they keep migrating from foreign countries to America through the State Department. They're bringing in people from all over the world, listeners. You should go research on the State Department's website, and you'll find out about migration coming from all parts of the world, not just south of the border, which is obviously a Hegelian dialectic under the guise of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was an executive order enacted by Clinton in 1998, implementation of human rights treaties. Obviously, this is going on now, where we're bringing in people from all over the world to pollute our country, basically. And their countries have been designed to be undesirable for them to live in anymore, because most of these people would never have left their countries if they weren't so corrupted. And it all comes under the guise of the IMF, International Monetary Fund control, to manipulate and maneuver countries into the UN system. That's the way I see it, anyway.
Mexican Foreign Secretary, I was telling you this, Derbez. It's really interesting when you do a search on his name. He's complained about the Minutemen. He wanted to take them to a international tribunal. He's complained about the state of Arizona and their Proposition 200. He talked about taking them to the International Tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
He's been involved. He's worked with the World Bank for 14 years. He's been involved in all kinds of trade conferences all over the world. And it's really interesting because when you look at some of the trade conferences he's been involved in, they're talking about the obstacle to all this trade is our borders.
Mm-hmm.
And if they remove the borders, then that pretty much leaves everybody open to global migration.
Absolutely. And so you sent me this information for the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Firm chosen to develop Trans-Texas Pay System. A company was selected Thursday, and this is dated August 26th, listeners, to develop a system so that motorists can pay their way on the Trans-Texas Corridor toll roads without stopping at a booth. Meeting in Austin, Texas, the Texas Transportation Commission selected Raytheon Company as the prime contractor for the system. The first leg of the Trans-Texas is a planned toll road that would be an alternative to Interstate 35 from Texas Fort Worth to San Antonio. Construction is expected to be underway by 2007 and completed by 2015. Eventually, toll roads, rail lines, and utilities would crisscross the state, according to Governor Rick Perry's vision of Trans-Texas. And that is a lie, listeners. It is not Governor Rick Perry's vision. This was envisioned long before Rick Perry was the governor of Texas, listeners. It's not his vision, people. And there is the point. The baloney is in place. John in Florida, welcome to the broadcast, John.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello. I just want to say that back in 1987, I got to pull some Army duty down in Honduras.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't too far away from Nicaragua, which was controlled by the Sandinistas at the time. We were out there protecting the road crews and their equipment that was working on the Pan American Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I remember there was an alert. Some guy from the U.S. of A. had crossed Texas and gone down through Mexico on a mission to, like, become a mercenary and go fight the Sandinistas. And, I mean, this guy got from the U.S. down into lower Honduras within 2 days' time, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's quite a distance to travel when you think about it. But, of course, we're putting these roads in all over the place, and this kind of ties into this entire, you know, topic that you're talking about, which would be going up to, you know, Hudson Bay, let's say, across the U.S. through Canada, and down even further to the tip of South America, Tierra del Fuego.
Yes, and this is why FTAA has to go through. John, stay with us.
Yeah.
We'll continue on the other side. And Jane Lesko is part of Eagle Forum listeners, and we'll give out directions for you to contact her. Stay with us. John in Florida, do you have any more for us?
Yeah, I do. I want to put a question to Jane, and I'm sorry you didn't acknowledge you. I had a senior moment last segment, Jane. But here's the thing. About 1993 on C-SPAN, I saw an interview of some people down in Argentina, and these were middle-class, upper-middle-class people, and they were expressing something that really I found offensive. And to paraphrase them, they said, well, America belongs to all of us people in the world, and we're all going there. And, you know,
when was this, John? When was this?
1993.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, I found it a bit offensive because I've been abroad. I've been to the four corners of the globe, and I've heard similar, but I've never questioned it until I did in 93. And I'm wondering, where is this concept that all of these foreigners have in their thoughts? Where is it coming from? Is it from the UN?
Yes, yes, we're going regional. They believe that we're just the North American region.
Uh-huh.
And the Mexicans in California, I tell you, they're part. This is all regional. There's no borders anymore.
Yeah.
And they're told that.
But, of course, it seems that it extends even to the Far East, to the Middle East, to countries that aren't continentally connected here to North America and South America. You know?
Right, right.
I mean, everybody out in the world seems to think they've got a birthright to be here.
Well,
somebody stripped me of my birthright as far as I
see. You know, I felt the same way when I see the global citizenship curriculum the kids are taught in school and told that their rights come from the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights.
Uh-huh.
And so much of the curriculum you're seeing in the schools today are coming out of the United Nations, out of UNESCO.
Uh-huh.
So this whole thing is all moving together to one big happy planet, they think. And where there will be no borders, and I think national sovereignty is the next thing they're going to go after, because when you go regional, you are going to lose your laws and your constitution, and there's just going to have be something that's going to change that.
I find it, Jane, very hard to understand what sort of human can be of that mindset that is doing this, these legal people or whoever that are engaged at the UN, whether it be in New York City or in Vienna or in Geneva or Brussels, wherever they have their tentacles.
Well, our president and his dad were very much involved in what's been taking place over the years. And everybody thought Clinton was bad, but they've all been doing the same program. It hasn't changed a bit.
Right.
Bush Sr. was involved with a lot of things with the United Nations that brought us in to where we're at today. And now people are finding out years later where this came from.
Well,
everything you're seeing is either from UNESCO, that's the education branch of the United Nations, or it's coming from the United Nations itself.
And it seems almost like, you know, the camel's nose under the tent is two-folded in a way, two-edged sword. It's either trade or it's humanitarian that we seem to be, reshaping the world here.
We need to be very, very careful. Who knows who's going to run for president in the next election? But if it's somebody that agrees with what the United Nations stands for, we're in big trouble.
John,
we've already seen enough of this.
Thank you.
Jane, how do people get a hold of you?
At my email address.
What is it?
Idaho Eagle Forum at msn.com.
Once again?
Idaho Eagle Forum at msn.com.
Very, very good. Thank you, Jay, for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back to continue into the second hour. Much to do. If you want to participate, 800-313-9443. Much to do, however. Sheehan war protesters leave Texas camp, according to the AP, Dennis's information. What else is new? That's just obvious that was going to happen. No press.